Welcome to Tom Papa's Come to Papa.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Come to Papa, your favorite podcast among all the other podcasts. We are here at the compound with Paul Morrissey.
Here in the kitchen.
We are in the kitchen. If it sounds a little echoey, you got to deal with it because we have two things of bread that are going in the oven. They just went in the oven, in the Dutch oven, and we now have an 18-minute timer, and then they got to come out, and then we got to get the lid off, and then we got to put them back in, and we got a lot of stuff to do if we're going to bake this bread, and we just have a busy day. So we've relocated to the place where all the magic happens.
Now, what would it feel like if you had to make, let's say, like 50 breads today?
It would feel like, it wouldn't feel bad, but all the other things that I did today, I would not have been able to do.
Right.
I got up at 5:30 this morning. I went to the Sirius XM studios, did the show with Fortune, and then went to Greg Fitzsimmons' podcast.
Oh, nice.
Did his thing over there at the Comedy Store, and then buzzed over here to see you, and now it is 2 o'clock. None of that could have been done. I would have had to. I could get up at 5:30, but I would have had to come up here and cranked up both ovens, and I would have done a bunch of work before to get them all ready. All those 50 breads you're talking about,
yeah.
It's impossible, by the way.
Well, it's like that donut guy. Remember the commercials that time to make the donuts guy?
Yeah.
Like, he really did have to get up before everybody else.
Yeah.
And get cooking.
No, you absolutely do.
Before everyone showed up and wanted their donuts.
I'm trying to figure out if I can fit another refrigerator into the garage, because if I want to make more bread, you have to proof them overnight. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to make more than just the two take up a good amount of room in the refrigerator. So if I'm going to expand, or if the holidays are coming, I'm going to have to do more, and then other stuff has to shift out. This one refrigerator, which is big.
Yeah.
This is a big refrigerator. I need overflow. I need another spot.
Yeah, you have like the industrial sized flour, and what else is that?
Those are just 2 50-gallon jugs of flour.
So you've got like your own corner, kind of.
I've taken over the corner.
So you'd need some kind of like nook. I have to ask my aunt. I had an Aunt Elizabeth, who was my grandmother's sister,
mm-hmm.
that in the summer in Saratoga, where the racetrack is, you know how there's Saratoga racetrack,
gets
really busy in the summer, and it like doubles in population. It's really busy for like 3 months, and then it kind of shuts down for the winter.
Yeah.
They ran a little like diner place. And her specialty was apple pies.
Ooh.
And she would cut apples, make the crust from scratch, and bake them. And I want to say 50 to like 75 pies a day.
A day. So she had a commercial oven.
I don't know. I'm going to have to ask my aunt. I don't know the whole story, but I remember that was her. It was like an amazing feat of like dealing with the apples.
Yeah.
Making the crust from scratch and like.
By herself?
Pie a la mode. She was like running the kitchen. So I don't know how much she did or how she did it.
Right.
But I've got to ask. But she did, when she was still alive, she told me about it. And it was like, she's the aunt that told me when she took her driver's test, it was before they had doors on the cars.
Right.
And she went over the railroad tracks and the instructor fell out of the car.
Where was this?
Saratoga. Upstate New York, Saratoga.
Wow.
So it was like one of those like places where people would just stop and get dessert, like a diner kind of place. I forget what it was called, but I think that was like the main thing was like her apple pies.
It's pretty great. What I would like to do is, right now I'm doing, the problem is you have to constantly be thinking a day ahead. We're 2 days ahead.
Yeah.
Like over there on the scale, that's the sourdough starter. And that's been fed. And it probably needs to be fed one more time and then can make bread. I should be doing that in a bigger container so that I could, I should be shaping four loaves of bread rather than two.
Uh-huh.
That way, I've got it. I can even stagger whenever I bake them. It doesn't really matter. You can stagger that part. But like now I've got two in there. I'm baking them. We're going to eat one. Or maybe I'll give one away. And then I got to start up again with that. Like, it's putting me behind another day. I should keep the cycle going and making more in one cycle rather than repeating the cycle.
But how precious can you be? Because even during Halloween, you had that one and you didn't even give it away because you didn't think it was like fresh enough.
Yeah. And look, they still have it there. It's still out. That thing is hard as a rock. It looks great. It looks like a prop. But even that, on Halloween, it wasn't ready to be.
But that's what I mean. If you're making 50 of these, you can't be crazy precious.
No, but if I make four, and then my family, if I, you know, whatever we're eating, and then give the rest away, I just should be baking more.
I think you're at the point where your family doesn't get any. They don't appreciate it right now. I say a month no bread for these kids. See if they start begging for it.
Let them smell it and not eat it. Yeah, I know.
Wait for the day where like, hey, Dad, where are all the breads going?
Yeah. Yeah, just have people posting pictures of them eating their bread. You're thinking that they don't appreciate it enough.
Yeah, well, they're just eating it. There's no thank yous. There's no appreciation for the art of the bread.
Well, here's the thing you have to realize about children. They quietly appreciate stuff and may never say it. Mm-hmm. And then it all of a sudden pops out in weird ways. And you're like, oh, they are paying attention.
Right.
My oldest, who's going to be going to college, one of her big requirements and what she's asking people, even when she's on tours or in interviews with these colleges, prospective colleges, is whether or not she has the ability to have a kitchen where she can bake bread like her father.
Ah.
When she's at school.
Is that a name drop? They're like, who's your dad? Oh, he's got this TV show.
Yeah, I was thinking that, but no, you know, we only did one season. It's not going to get you much. But, you know what I mean? Like, they're quietly, oh, all right. You know, they'll never, I have to beg them to, they've never, she hasn't made a single loaf.
Right.
She's fed the starter a couple times while I've been away. But never mixed the dough, never, doesn't really know the first thing about it. But obviously there's some appreciation seeping through.
Right.
That's, you know, that's.
Have her eat that comes out later.
And it's, you know, this is why being a stay-at-home parent is so thankless. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That happens to you, you know. My wife was home with the kids for most of their years, and you feel so underappreciated because all those, from the outside, I would always be like, well, you're doing a great job, and the kids are so great, and don't you see the big picture of how valuable this is, that you're in her moments of like, what am I doing? And you have to realize they do appreciate it. They are accepting it. They're loved. They're growing. They're watching you when you don't even think they're watching you. All this stuff is seeping through, but you never, very rarely, get a thank you or a round of applause. Mm-hmm. Or a, hey, I just want to tell you, Mom, doing the laundry for us is such a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
No. The most you get from a kid is you have to make them make a card for you.
Right.
On your birthday or Christmas. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They love you. They're into it. You're doing a great job, but they're not going to tell you. They're the roughest audience in the world.
Yeah, I'm still mad that you had to, like, I remember you didn't do a Seinfeld show because one of your daughters was in some ballet.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I still want to tell your daughters, like, you guys are not good enough for him to be skipping these opportunities. You need to get better.
Yeah, well, there was a time early on in my career especially with Jerry, that I wouldn't cancel anything,
right.
And I missed a lot of stuff,
yeah,
because of gigs and whatever. You know, there's a couple moments where I know. I remember having to leave something when I should have stayed and didn't. But I had to go. You know, it's for your career, and you got to hustle, and you have this opportunity. You got to take it, and you know, are they going to remember certain times when you weren't around? Maybe, but you know,
I think they try to remember the time where you weren't there to like turn the knife a little bit.
Yeah, definitely the younger one does that for sure. She went through a period of you weren't there. Whatever story. It could have been like my birthday party, and she was like, you weren't there. Yes, I was. It was my party. I don't remember that. But I think ultimately the best thing you can do is just lead by example. And if working super hard, if they see that you're working really hard,
yeah,
nothing's going to stop you, and hopefully that'll rub off on them, you know, more than you just hanging around the house and canceling your dates and being frustrated that you're not going anywhere and drinking a bunch and laying on the couch. What kind of example is that?
Right,
but it's better that you skip some stuff and get out of town.
But you also, I mean, this is a tough part when you are in a relationship that, like, when you're away and you're doing our job, it always seems fun. So, yeah. Like, nobody has any compassion for, like,
yeah.
Oh, I got to travel and get up early tomorrow. And your wife's probably like, I'm taking care of the family, Tom.
Yeah. Well, in the early years, it was definitely more of that.
Yeah.
Because everybody's freaking out. I'm freaking out trying to get to my gigs and taking horrible flights and because they're cheaper and it's hard and you're doing all this press and it's just, you know, it's a monstrous thing. At the same time, the kids are little and need someone 24 hours. I mean, now, like, someone just asked me, Greg asked me, like, do you have your office at home? And I said, yeah. And he goes, you can write at home? I said, yeah, there's nobody there.
Yeah.
There'd be more people in an office building walking down the halls than are here. They're up early. They're out of the house. They're at school. They're not here. When they're little, you know, that was, my wife had to literally had a human being on her or asking her for something 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
They never leave. They're just, until they're 5, 6 years old. I mean, that's a lot of years of them just being around all the time. We lived in a different place, and I would write at the table, the patio, out on the patio, and it would be cold in the morning,
mm-hmm.
but there was nowhere to go. I couldn't afford an office. I couldn't write in the house because there's little kids running around, you know, doing crazy kid stuff. So I literally would put on like a sweatshirt and a hat and go sit outside at the picnic table and write in the cold.
Right.
You literally couldn't be in the same space as these little people. And then you know, so we were all frantic and crazy at that point. So I would call and be like, don't you realize I miss being there too. This is hard on me. Well, it's hard on me too, because I've got these kids on me. And then, you know, and it didn't really cause a lot of friction, but there was quiet resentment on both sides, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Because we were both under the gun.
But I also think when you're away, it matched up technology-wise where kids, especially like teenage girls, because my brother has 3 daughters about the same age as your kids,
mm-hmm.
and he's a working dad. And when mom's home, it seems like all the girls text dad about stuff. Like when you're away.
Right.
Like I remember when we would travel, they would always be asking you stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was like to try to like go around mom or how that works.
But. Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes go around mom. Sometimes it's because they know I'm easy and, you know, and or don't have time. I don't even know if they think I'm busy, but they know they're going to get a quick answer, and it's probably going to be yes just to end it.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I'm going off to Cleveland this weekend, which should be a swell time.
Nice.
And it's funny to like go back to places that there's, you know, a handful of places I've gone throughout my whole career, and that's like one of them, where just through the years you've just keep coming back. It's almost like going to see the leaves or something, or going on a ski vacation. So it's that time. It's Cleveland time again.
Yeah.
And it's really funny to just see the difference of what you're leaving and what you're coming back to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It really is different. I'm leaving later because my daughter is now a senior and the lead of this play. So I've got to catch the first performance before I get out.
And when is it?
Tomorrow night.
Big, what's the play called?
It's The Tempest, Shakespeare.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty highbrow for high school.
Yeah, I know. I hope I understand it. Truth be told, I've never read The Tempest. I got to try and download some of it tonight.
Yeah, you want spoilers?
I just want to get I'd like to get a little, I might have read it. I don't, when I got to crack it open and see if it comes back to me or not.
Yeah.
But I don't remember it at all. And I'd like to get a little preview before I go in.
So is this like, it's like real, like lighting and music?
Yeah, on a stage. It's a little stage at the school. But it's, they do a really professional kind of job with all their plays. It's pretty amazing. They do the musicals and the plays and stuff like that.
Why don't they do something fun like Blue Man Group?
That would be cool.
Have all the kids just blue, bald and blue.
They could. It's about that size of a theater. That would work out perfectly.
Play the garbage cans.
Did you watch the Giants last night?
I did.
Oof.
Yeah, football is not fun this year.
It's so awful. I turned it on. I was like, first of all, this is how bad you know it is because your team is playing Monday Night Football and you have no idea that they're playing Monday Night Football. I just stumbled on it by mistake. I'm like, I wonder who's playing the game tonight. Oh, the Giants.
I knew it. I knew it was Giants Cowboys too, and it's the least I've cared about it, but I still... Oh, that means your bread's ready, right?
Alexa, stop. Yep.
I still had a little bit of Cowboy hate pop up right before the game.
Of course.
And
that was legendary. You'd be so psyched when they played the Cowboys.
And it still bothered me that that the Giants stink so much.
I know. And it's so disheartening. And you watch it and you know it, you're like, wow, they're close. Maybe this will be... Yeah, no.
Yeah. Tom is going into the oven now for... Is this one done?
Those are good. That moment right there when you take... The Dutch ovens, they were in there for 20 minutes and with the lid on.
Oh, yeah, I can smell it now.
And then you pop the lid off on the first time, after the first 20 minutes, you take the lid off and you get to see how much they rose.
Oh, okay, cool.
So if you know at this point that whether you've succeeded or failed,
mm-hmm.
If you fail, it's not going to have risen, it's going to be flat.
Oh.
It's going to be flat. It's going to be misshapen. Something's going to be weird with it.
So what do you do? Does that become stuffing?
If it's good, it has exploded.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone from that ball, and it just rose and exploded and tore open, and you get these peaks on it. And that's what you want, and we have done it. So that is going to be successful bread right there. And now, Alexa, set a timer. 15 minutes.
15 minutes, starting now.
Thanks, Toots. So 15 minutes without the lid, and then you take them out of the Dutch ovens completely, put it back in, and let it brown.
So who are you going to give this one to? Did you give that to Fitzsimmons? Do you get any bread?
I should have given some to Fitzsimmons. I don't know. See, because I'm traveling in a couple days... I may have to leave him for the family.
Do you have to give one to Fortune? I feel like she's...
Fortune's fiance is gluten intolerant.
Right.
She has trouble eating gluten.
That's why I think she wants it, so that she gets the whole thing.
That's why she wants... No. her fiance can eat... Her fiance, Jax, she can eat my bread.
Oh, because it's
she has a gluten
pure.
Problem with all those horrible breads that with all those different additives. It's not just the gluten, in my opinion. It's all this extra stuff that's been added that is giving people trouble. And she's able to eat my bread, so she's pretty desperate for it. When they came over on Halloween night,
mm-hmm.
Fortune let me know that she had to stop Jax from attacking that piece of bread over there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because she likes it so much, and she can't eat bread normally, but she can eat mine. So she's really looking. You know, when you have someone like that really wants it, you gotta give it to them.
Now, is that like a thing that people are, you know, they're old enough to have grown up when people didn't care about gluten allergies, right?
Right, right.
So when do you figure this out?
Well, I don't know. I think like with everything that's going on now, we're learning so much about every aspect of our life, right?
Yeah.
Everything. Stomach problems, headaches, mental illness, depression, like every aspect of being a human being, we're getting more and more information about every single day, right? We're dissecting it. We're analyzing it. There's groups being developed. There's people sharing information about their things, cross-pollinating and moving forward and trying to find stuff out. So what when we were growing up, what was...
We want excuses for everything.
Yeah. Well, that's the flip side of it, is that you get too much information, you self-diagnose it, and you're not sure what you're really dealing with. And everything that we used to just have to buck up and go through,
yeah,
because they didn't know what caused stomach problems, or they didn't know what ADHD was, or they didn't know what mental illness, that mental illness wasn't just the crazy guy on the street, it was also... You know, people who are mildly depressive or for some reason, you know, having mental issues. It was all just lumped into big general things. Crazy guy, stomach problem, the lady with the headaches.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now we're starting to figure out all the subtleties of this stuff and able to treat it and help people. So now you're able to take the stomach problem and break that down into, you know, thousands of ailments and things that could be wrong, which is great if you happen to find the right one for you that makes you stronger and makes you better and takes you out of your depression or whatever you're dealing with. The other side of it is it can make people, we all tend to be a little hypochondriac at some point. And, you know, it's like when my old joke, if you go on WebMD, they should just call it youhavecancer.com.
Yeah.
Because... You start digesting all this information and you end up like, well, I must have gluten. I mean, everybody else has gluten. I must have gluten. You don't know. I mean, right. I'm sure there's some tests where you can really figure it out, but just the fact that she can eat this bread, and it's been that way with several friends. They're able to eat my bread. It's gluten. That's what made that, the structure that made that bread rise is gluten. So... It's all that extra other stuff that's been added into people's
diets. Yeah, that's
what
I mean. Is like, I don't even know, because I'm growing up, I had a bunch of different allergies. Like, I was really allergic to any kind of smoke, and that was back when everyone smoked everywhere.
Yeah,
and it was kind of like, oh yeah, tough luck.
Yeah,
you
right.
know what I mean,
yeah.
there wasn't like, hey, everyone, don't smoke. It bothers me.
Right.
They're like,
no, you're the problem.
Go outside.
Yeah, you were the problem. yeah, like, and like kids were just, you were just stupid, or you were smart, or you were lazy, or you worked hard. And now you realize, oh, some kids are dyslexic. Mm-hmm. Some kids don't see words the right way. Some people have a problem with their energy. I mean, there's like, and it's like, well, of course.
Yeah.
There's 7 billion of us. How do we... We're all supposed to learn exactly the same way. We're all supposed to have the same dietary needs. We're all supposed to have the same... It just doesn't work that way. But the problem is when you start saying, okay, so everybody does have an issue, 7 billion people. Does that mean we have to accommodate 7 billion people's habits and needs all the time? Nah, you know, not when you come into the public sphere.
Yeah.
It's like going to... There's this great place... In the Valley, Sweet Butter, where you go and you place your order, and it's one of those annoying places where you place your order before you find a seat,
mm-hmm.
and then they give you a thing and a little tag, and you go sit down, and then they bring you your food. So you're having to wait for all these people to order, and in LA, you know, you go out to dinner with friends in LA, and everyone has their own. Can't have salt. I only like fried. I don't eat meat. I only eat fish. I only eat dairy. Everybody's got their problems. And, you know, if you're sitting at a table talking to a waiter, you just have to deal with your girlfriend's problems.
Yeah.
At the places like this, you got a whole line of LA people in front of you. is there any chicken broth in that soup? Is there any? It's just endless. It just goes on and on forever. There's very little. There's no, we're just all in this together and this is all we make and you like it or lump it.
Yeah.
Everything's made to order, you know? The whole culture is now made to order.
I just wonder how people figure it out because, like, you know, I have hay fever.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how I figured that out? I was playing in a pile of hay.
Yeah.
There was like a hunt for candy and a pile of hay, and I came up and I was like, had red blotches all over me.
Hey.
And like, oh, he's got hay fever.
Yeah.
I guess you don't go near that anymore. That's what it was. Because yeah. You know what all allergy shots are just small doses of whatever it is that you're allergic to.
To put it in this great immune system that you've got,
yeah.
And let it go to work.
So if you're allergic to gluten, if you just ate a little bit of gluten every day, you probably wouldn't bother you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And the problem is, with all this, even as you say it, I get in my mind, like, oh, there's going to be someone listening who's like, no, I have a gluten problem, and I can tell you why, and these are, you know, and I changed my life, and now I'm better. I get that. There are certain, but the true percentage of the people that have it does not match the percentage of people who claim they have it.
Right.
That's like with everything now.
Yeah, the big one, because, you know, they have the gluten section in, like, food stores
mm-hmm.
now. But the one thing that I was fascinated with is this resurgence of charcoal.
Charcoal's making a comeback. Putting it in coffee.
It's in, you can just take a pill with charcoal.
Why is charcoal good?
I don't know. I think they're just trying to find, like, I got charcoal toothpaste. That's got to be a joke, right?
Like, Alexa, they can't... why is charcoal good for you?
A response from an Amazon customer about Nature's Way activated charcoal says it digests toxins from the body, brush, floss, and go to the dentist. Was that helpful?
Not really.
Why are Amazon customers giving us advice? Like, how low rent is this?
Yeah. So I don't know. I was at a coffee shop and they have charcoal lattes.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were kidding. Like the toothpaste, I thought was the real joke because it's like, is that that trick toothpaste that like turns your mouth?
Oh
black?
Man, I was on the road and I was in a like. Health food, not a health food store, like one of those gourmet deli kind of places that has all like the fancier food and a little more like a Whole Foods kind of thing. And the only toothpaste they had, and I was out of toothpaste, the only toothpaste they had was, I forget the name. It was an all-natural toothpaste with no fluoride and leaves your breath minty fresh and blah, 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 but didn't have all the stuff that like Colgate has. It was like, you know when you run out of toothpaste and you would just brush with your brush?
Yeah,
With nothing on it? It was like that.
Right.
It was like, oh, and the tube was gigantic. It's like as big as your Coke bottle.
Yeah.
I just left it at the hotel. I'm like, this, you're making me think I'm brushing my teeth. I'm not brushing my teeth.
Because I did like a whole free write this morning about it, and I put what's next, charcoal lattes, as like a joke.
No, no.
So that's a real thing?
Oh, yeah. It's in everything now. It's like the new pumpkin.
Right, right. But I'm saying that can be a thing that you can drink?
Yep.
That's crazy. Because do you remember, like, maybe this happened, like, I don't know, once or twice in high school, somebody got so drunk at a party that they had to go to the hospital?
Yeah.
And when they want to make you throw up so you don't, like, die from alcohol poisoning, they pump charcoal into your stomach.
Oh, really?
Yeah. To make you sick.
Ew.
So it's like, how can it be used for that and
yeah.
for lattes?
Yeah. I don't know. You always need something new and exciting.
It's in my deodorant. I have one of those new age deodorants that has charcoal in it.
Does it work?
I don't know. It just looks like that thing that, you know, because the toothpaste that have it in it are like, you know, it's like Uncle Red's
right.
since 1873.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't want to use toothpaste
from the time when
200
they
years ago.
Yeah, when everyone's teeth was falling out. No, I know.
So I wonder, there had to be some kind of lobby to like get charcoal, charcoal back on
people?
Top.
I don't know. Those people don't compare to the CBD people.
Yeah, that's a bad one too. Nobody knows what CBD is.
I have no clue what it is, but I know it's in everything.
And
I've got two bottles of it. Someone in Denver gave me what they said is the best CBD oil in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, all right. I still haven't put any drops under my tongue because I'm like, what do I want to use it for?
Right.
But then I did have this other one that I got because my wife was having trouble sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And they say you take some drops of it and it helps you sleep. And it didn't help her at all. It made me fall asleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I can't take it too late because there is some THC in it. It's like 8 to 1.
Uh-huh.
Which means there's a very small trace of it.
Okay.
But enough of a trace where when I'm going to sleep, it's like when you're high and have dreams, like it gets a little weird picture show before you fall asleep and wake up a little bit groggy.
Right.
So you just take less of it and you're fine and it does help you sleep. Like there is something to it for sure.
I still don't know what it is though. It's like some kind
It's from the marijuana plant.
Right.
Marijuana has CBD and it has THC.
Right.
So it's probably cannabinoid bubble drops.
Right.
And then THC, which is the part that gets you high. Mm-hmm. And the CBD is supposed to, it's all of the, so like when you smoke, you get, your body relaxes, you get a little sleepy, you get less anxiety. The THC makes you high, makes you feel a little drunk, makes you see stuff, makes you, you know, all those parts of it. Mm-hmm. So they strip the THC out and just give you the relaxy, buzzy, fall asleep, body comfort part of it.
Right.
That's what it is.
So, but that has always been legal? Or
People weren't extracting it. People weren't really using it. And it's, I mean, in places where weed is illegal still, you can get CBD oil.
Mm-hmm.
People just weren't. It's just caught on, like your charcoal or pumpkin spice.
Right.
It's now in everything. And you know, the problem is it's kind of a drug, but it's not. It's like chamomile tea or ginkgo biloba. Like, it's not a medical substance, so it's not regulated. So who's to tell? This woman comes up to me in Denver and just hands me a bag with this thing in it that she makes in her house. You know, how can you tell if there's consistency to it, where it's coming from, what it is?
What's with all that stuff? Garlic, melatonin, like any of those things that are just in pill form.
Yeah.
Fish oil.
Yeah.
Like, who knows if any of that stuff is good for you?
I know. My doctor swears by fish oil. And someone else was just telling me that they swear by garlic and these garlic pills. That if you eat a thing of garlic, you like won't be sick. Like if you eat a clove of garlic. But you stink, so you're taking it in a pill form, and you won't. Everybody's doing everything. We're still like these animals, just foraging through the forest and eating everything we can.
Well, the fish oil thing is weird because it's supposed to help your joints.
It's supposed to help your heart.
Oh, I thought it was for your joints too, though. There's something, and the fish don't have any bones, right? Don't they?
They have bones. You ever bite into a piece of salmon and get all those bones?
Never.
No, you've never had a piece of fish.
But they don't have any like joints, do they?
I don't think so.
This is more bread.
Maybe a shark. Alexa, stop. All right, now this is a little trickier. So,
Alexa, what are the benefits of charcoal toothpaste?
Whiter teeth.
Whiter teeth. So something.
I didn't get my teeth done before taping the special.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to get my teeth all whited up. I didn't do it.
They can fix that.
All right,
that
so now
post.
I got to take the bread out of the Dutch oven. This will take a little bit.
They can give you whiter teeth in post, right? Maybe. In Magic Mike, they gave all those guys abs. They can give you whiter teeth.
My director is directed Magic Mike.
So that's what I mean. They're just going to give you, they're going to give Tom White. Oh, look at that.
Isn't that beautiful?
You could hear it. Crisp.
That is good. Now it goes back in so it can brown.
What do you mean? It's not brown. It's just for appearances.
Then a thicker crust. Give it a little more flavor. Have it.
Those are so much bigger than the ones that you made like a year ago.
Well, yeah, because a lot of times they were flat.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, they're gigantic now. They look like bundt cakes.
This is how you know how geeky I've become. My birthday is next week, and the only thing I've asked for is more wooden spoons.
Why?
Because I've got all these wooden things that people have given me, but they're none of real. I have one spoon. The rest are like, there's a couple like spatula kind of things, which is cool. But then a lot of like spoons with slots in it and a weird shaped thing, and there's like 12 pieces of wooden thing in there that are useless. I just need spoons for when I cook and do other stuff.
Oh, I thought you'd beat your kids with it.
And there's always one that you take out on your children. That would be funny. I should start that.
That's my buddy. Growing up, his mom used to hit him with a spoon, and that's when they knew he was too skinny. Because she hit him with a spoon and it broke.
That would be a funny thing to start hitting your kids when they're 17 and 14.
I say wait till they're 18. They're legal.
And then they can sue you. Do it now and be like, you know what? We've never had this. We never wanted to hit you kids. We never have hit you. And we're starting to think it might have been a mistake. So your mother and I discussed it. And we're going to start hitting you if you do something wrong. We don't want to hit you. We'd rather not. But if you do anything that's wrong, you're going to get it.
Yeah. And only wooden, no plastic.
Yeah, not with my hand.
Environmentally safe.
A wooden spoon. Eco-friendly wooden spoon. Hey, Alexa, set a timer.
Timer for how long?
10 minutes. The back of the oven heats a little hotter than the front of the oven. So around, it probably should be in there for about 15 minutes, but around 10, I'll spin it.
Now, how long do you think this oven's going to last, man? You're really working this thing.
I've already gone through burners.
I know.
I had to replace the ignition. I had to replace burners. And this is as nice an oven as you can get for your home. And it just came with the house. I was pretty fortunate. My buddy over at Bub and Grandma's, which is the bread place in L.A. for making the best bread that goes to all the restaurants. Mm-hmm. Like even Nancy Silverton's restaurants, Mozza, and I forget the other two. She's like La Brea bread. She's like this amazing, amazing baker and then restaurateur and... She's a really good. She's on one of those chef's tables on Netflix, I believe. She's really cool, just an artist. But now she doesn't, make the bread. She'll make pizzas, and she's always on location. And you can catch her at one of the restaurants. It's like a star sighting. But those breads, that was Mario Batali was part of that operation. The whole thing, like this is as Italian.
Oh, I
as
can
you
smell
can,
it now.
As Italian as you can get in L.A. And their bread, they don't make their own bread.
Oh, really?
It's made by Bub and Grandma's.
Wow.
Bub and Grandma's. Andy is my pal over there, and he started the whole thing. And he's really great. Like, I'm kind of like on the edge of getting really weird, but I but I don't. He was like all in his tiny, an oven probably half the size of this.
Yeah.
And in order to make the baguettes the right way, which you really need a lot of steam and it has to be really hot and you have to be consistent to get that real thick outside with that super light inside to make baguettes, which is one of the most difficult things to do, especially at home without like a steam injected oven. He was putting bricks inside of his oven.
Oh, wow.
He was building a brick oven inside of his home kitchen. And that's when he realized. And people were really into it. He was really getting successful with it. So then he had to blow out and get a real space.
Yeah.
And he just got like a warehouse and had an oven in there and just started cranking out breads and started his own. He had a table where they would do it and then a little refrigerator thing to proof it. And then started cranking them out and getting bigger. And now all of the top restaurants in L.A., who are known for great bread. It's his bread.
Oh, wow.
Which is really interesting because most people, I'd say 80, 90% of the people have no idea who's making that bread.
Yeah, I wonder where Domingo's gets theirs from.
Yeah, I think they do make it.
Because theirs is really good.
Their ciabatta rolls for all of their sandwiches.
Did I tell you when I went there, I don't know who's the guy who's kind of in charge. He's probably
I haven't met him.
Like a taller guy.
Uh-huh.
He speaks like kind of has an Italian accent. And when you tell that joke about how you want to work at a bagel shop,
mm-hmm.
when I saw this guy, so I went when it was closing. Remember, I told you I went and got a sandwich like a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was closing. He wanted to make sure my sandwich was great.
Right.
But then as I was leaving, he had like his two kids and like this perfect like looking pizza.
Uh-huh.
And he's just kind of like laying back like a kind of lazy Italian guy and uh-huh. just enjoying like eating this pizza and like the two kids jumping all over him. Like nice. That's Tom right there.
Yeah.
That's it.
That would be grandkids at that point.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like. It's like that guy, he had like a successful day. Now he's eating this pizza that he made.
Yeah.
And his kids are like, you know, part of it. You know, you could tell like he was really happy.
It's great. That could be a good second act, you know?
Yeah.
Do the stand up on the weekends, bake the bread during the week. It's a lot of work, though. I think it's more work than being a stand up. You don't have to write, of course, but man, you've got to do a lot of work. You're up early.
Yeah, I know people that, like younger people that are running their own restaurant, and it's nonstop.
Yeah. Like, yeah, no it's break. Tough. It's really tough.
You should do it. I think you should do it like Breaking Bad. I think you should get one of those like RVs
mm-hmm.
and just have all the stuff in there.
Yeah.
And then you just kind of drive it into like a parking lot and just bake for the day and start selling it.
That would be pretty great. I wonder if you can put a bread oven in a truck. Probably.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Right?
There's all those food truck
problem
things.
Is with those with the trucks is that there's no consistency in the atmosphere. Like,
yeah.
One day you're in a hot part down in the valley, then if you're in Santa Monica where it's cooler and the sea and more humid. And
sea salt bread. That's the other one that's big.
Sea salt bread?
Everything's sea salt now.
Yeah, man. My friend gave me some of this salt. She got it from Norway.
Ah.
In the old days, in the north, there was a mermaid named Alda. Her eyes were green and her hair was long and wild. She would sing with such a melancholic voice for fishermen in their boats that they lost their minds. The only one undisturbed by her haunting melodies was a young fisherman called Brander. Hardworking and poor, he never stopped fishing, only lit bonfires, floating in the darkness around his small boat. The lights not only attracted fish, but also Alda. And every night, she came a little closer to the dancing flames. The moment Brander's eyes fell upon the mermaid, he jumped from his boat and vanished into the ocean. Even today, Alda's singing may be heard on one quiet night in the area of Brendafjordur.
So wait, what happened to him?
He dove after her.
Oh, I thought he was like maybe not that interested in the ladies, if you know what I mean.
Oh, you thought he was gay? No.
He'd be looking for maybe a merman.
This is actually from Denmark.
Oh, Denmark.
But it's this amazing sea salt flakes.
So what's the moral of that? Like to play hard to get?
The moral of that is sometimes women just are so attractive.
Just lay back. Don't be so forceful.
No, he killed himself for love. He loved her so much. He's probably living in the sea with her.
You think?
Yes.
Or is he stupid enough to think he can breathe underwater?
He gave her a kiss. Look how hot she is. Look at that.
Yeah, she's pretty hot.
She's gorgeous. I would jump in the ocean after her if I was living at the sea by myself. Fishing.
Oh, I thought she had flipper hands. She just has all this salt salt in her hands.
No, but she has a tail. She has a fish tail. Does that bother you?
Norder salt.
She has starfish in her hair. She's pretty attractive, though. I would dive in. Why not? Go get a lady friend.
She needs a brush, I think.
I thought you were going to say a bra.
No, she's holding it together.
Yeah, but the whole...
The water, there's no gravity. It keeps everything in place a little bit better.
See how powerful this is? We're just talking about salt, and all you can obsess about is the mermaid. You would have dove in, too.
That was like the Me Too era of sea salt.
Just put a little on your tongue.
But why is it flakes, though? What's the difference?
Because you just put a flake on your tongue. It's very salty. But a light.
That's what I like about that pretzel salt.
Right, exactly. There's all types. That's another trend, too. Talk about charcoal. There's salt people out there.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. That are way into salt. I had a flight attendant take me to the back of the plane, and he showed me his salts.
Really?
Yeah.
Like rock salts?
He was like, I hear you're really into making bread. And he took me in the back, and it was my wife and I are really into different kinds of salt. And he was like wine. He was talking about it like wine. Here's this kind and this light one. And
really?
This is really good for this kind of thing. This is good for that kind of thing. I was like, yeah, that's great, but it all leads to high blood pressure, so I'm out with your salt thing.
Now, have you ever, this is an honest thing, I've never put salt on food in my life. Is that a thing? What makes you want to do that?
Salt brings out the flavor.
Really?
Yep. But I'm you like, don't what? Like flavor, so
no,
it's
but
not
mean, obviously,
a thing for you.
You know, like there's salt on fries and there's stuff mm-hmm. that is salty.
Yeah.
But I've never felt the need to be like, hey, this needs more salt. Like,
yeah.
What is that impulse?
Like if you have a steak and it's a little bland, or if you have...
Never would even cross my mind.
Yeah, because you don't have a spectrum of flavor needs.
Right.
You just like it hot or cold.
Somebody said that I might have like some, what is it called? Like a...
Eating disorder.
No. When you have like some super taste bud thing.
Super tasters.
Is that a real thing?
Alexa, stop. Yeah, no, that's a thing. A super taster.
So that's why like these things bother me. Because usually like people can just eat stuff. But if you have like this super taste thing, it really...
I don't think what you have is called super. All right, one more minute.
Yeah, that smells really good when you open the oven.
Cooling rack.
Tom just fell in. So how many do you have there?
Two.
There's just two.
Just two. And then that one, so what are we sitting on? We're on Tuesday. I might be able to mix more and get them out tonight.
But are you going to bring one to Cleveland?
I don't know. I've got friends. Yeah, that's the problem, too.
I feel like Nick would expect it.
I know. Certain people do expect it. Roland from Sirius XM.
Right. Oh, he's going to be there?
No, but whenever I go
to New York.
Well, where's the bread?
Yeah, that's...
He's been asking for bread for 2 years, and I haven't given it to him.
You're going to have to find a special luggage that... Almost like a humidor, like keeps the bread at a certain...
I'm going to be like a steam trunk. I'm going back to vaudeville days. I have all these books that just got delivered that I'm supposed to bring with me on tour.
Right.
And then I'm supposed to bring bread. It's like, you know, my whole career has gotten to this moment where I can pack literally for a week in a carry-on.
Yeah.
I got it so dialed in. I've gotten so small that my packing is nothing. And now I'm going to blow it all out of the water.
Right.
So I can bring books.
Well.
I've got to do it.
I mean, you did work hard on it.
I did, and people want it, and they should have it. And there's going to be a lot of people in Cleveland. I should have the book.
Are you excited to do the audiobook?
Again?
Yes.
For the new book? No.
Really?
Excited?
That would be the most fun... Because you know that's the guy that just died, the Kid Stays in the Picture guy?
Yes.
What was his name?
Evans.
Robert Evans. Supposedly, like, he wrote a book, and then when he did the audiobook, he just started, like, telling all these stories.
Right.
And, you know, he talks in that thing as, like, was I discouraged? No. Like, he would answer his own questions.
That documentary is one of the best.
Yeah, yeah. And supposedly, like, he just kind of, like, riffed the whole audiobook, and that's what everybody loves.
When I was doing the audiobook, they really wanted me to be pretty on with the book.
Yeah.
They didn't. They really didn't want me to go off.
Right. Do you feel the need, though? Because, like...
Sometimes things don't... You know, you're constantly fixing it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going through that now where I've handed it in and I'm still going through it and still finding things I want fixed. And I just read the first book on Live From Here this weekend.
Right.
When I did the NPR show. And I read an essay from that. And even that, it's been in print for 2 years and I was still changing stuff.
Yeah.
To make it better. So you're constantly doing it. So when you sit down to read it, you just gotta kind of read it.
Right, right.
Put something behind it and have your passion behind it, but you got to just accept it is what it is, I guess. All right, I'm going to check the bread.
But I enjoy the audiobooks. It always feels like it adds like another layer to the stories, especially if like the author does it. I never really understand why. I mean, I guess from talking to you.
He told me to get the Willie Nelson book.
Yeah, yeah.
And he doesn't narrate it.
No, I mean, because it's so long. Well, I mean, it's like
those beauties. Look
it's like
that.
12 hours.
All right, so there we are. Turn the oven off. I've made that mistake a couple times. So there you go. We got the podcast.
Yeah, those are perfect.
Completed and two beautiful loaves. Look how much height those loaves have compared to that one over
those
there.
Those are double D's, Tom.
Oh yeah, booby bread.
Is that what Fortune calls it?
Yeah, Fortune calls it booby bread. It looks
yeah,
like
you gotta post a picture of those.
Yeah, that is pretty delicious looking. Oh, and the house just smells great. Mm-mm-mm.
Did we rehash Halloween or no? Should we mention your costume?
My costume wasn't the best this year.
I thought it was pretty good. Like I could
it
tell.
Was good, but it wasn't what it was supposed to be. I looked like a tourist.
Well, you spend too much time planning the party. You need to...
Yes. Well, I didn't have a lot of time leading up to it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's what I mean. You're too busy. You need somebody to, like, order the costume for you.
Someone told me on the radio show that I should go as Johnny Depp as Hunter S. Thompson in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, mm-hmm. which is cool because I wanted the costume to have something to do with smoking.
Okay.
I just like at a party, even though I don't smoke, it's fun to hang with a cigarette or a cigar.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun prop.
Okay.
And I decided, yeah, that Johnny Depp thing sounds good. All I need is I've got the hat, I've got the Hawaiian shirt, and I've got a pen I'll use as the cigarette holder. The glasses, the sunglasses I had to ditch because I couldn't see out of them. It's my eyesight. I need my glasses. The hat was good. The shirt wasn't the right kind of Hawaiian. And without the cigarette thing, I just looked like... One year I did a tourist that was in an accident. I think it was that same exact costume, just with some Band-Aids on my face and a neck brace. That was... So it wasn't that great. And you also, this was the first time you repeated.
Yeah, I had the Green Lantern, so...
Always a crowd pleaser, but you've done it before.
I know. I felt like... Well, I mean, we had to go. We did the show in Detroit, which was great. We had a blast there. We had that.
We had to leave at 5 in the morning.
Yeah, so we knew it was only going to be a few hours. So it was kind of like maybe next year you won't plan. I think it's like the third year in a row that you've had like an East Coast show the next day.
I know. I know. We've got to be smarter about this booking. I know. All right, well, I'm going to Cleveland this year. Oh, here's a question. Oh, you didn't even eat the chili, though, right?
Nope.
Yeah. Chili in the refrigerator. Halloween was last Thursday, right? Can I still eat it today?
I don't know.
It's Thursday to Tuesday.
I don't know what's in it. Chili is just like meat that you don't want to eat anymore.
Oh, my God.
Is it fresh?
Oh, my God. I don't know. I could probably eat it. Why am I going to eat a big thing of chili? And I'm going to end up throwing it out.
Yeah.
All right, so go to paulhasawebsite.com. Look up Paul's dates. Where are you this weekend?
I am going to Chicago. I have a couple cool kind of charity fundraising shows, and then I'll be back in L.A. next week.
Sweetness.
So I next will... week is my first full week. I'll just be in town doing spots.
Wow, that's such a treat. I will be back in town, but I think I have to go out to Viroquois and Oshkosh.
Your second family in Wisconsin.
I know.
Needs to see you.
I really should. If I'm going to have a second family, it should either be in Idaho or Wisconsin. It's such a great place. I don't want kids, though.
Just have them work the farm.
Yeah, that's right. I'll have a farm.
They take care. They keep busy. You know? It's like Little House on the Prairie. They don't go to school anymore. They just work.
Go to TomPapa.com. Look up all the tickets. If you want a book, I'll meet you in Cleveland. Enjoy your life.